All right. You open up the divine book, folks. The infallible text. God's inspired word. If it's anything less than that, I wouldn't waste my time with it. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1. First Timothy 4:1. First Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 1. The scripture says, "The Spirit," capital S, "speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Father, I pray now that you'd anoint your word as it goes forth. Our Father, bless it to the hearts and the hearing of the people. And Father, I pray that you'd anoint this messenger tonight and give me unction to preach it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated. The Apostle Paul mentions quite a thing here when he says, seducing spirits. Now, you and I tonight, if we're Christians, we believe in a spirit world. We're not caught off guard in that, we understand. We know, first of all, he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." We understand that, but we also know that there is a spirit world also, a hierarchy in that spirit world, and as that hierarchy goes upward, the power goes upward, and probably the knowledge. And so this last days, of these latter times that we live in, is going to show us what we're dealing with in seducing spirits, a spirit that seduces you. Now, if you don't know what an incubus or a succubus is, go home and look it up, because I'm not going to get into it tonight here in a mixed company in front of children. And all of that, but go look it up. An incubus and a succubus, and you'll be amazed at what you read. You may simply take that, well, that's just a bunch of superstitious garbage and so forth and so on. Don't be so quick to do that. Don't be so quick to pass off what all the experience that people have had for a long time on this earth. Don't pass that off too quickly as simply superstition. But I want to read something for you. A lady that was with me this morning, with us from here, this lady from Missouri, she said on her way out before she left the church, and they're headed back to Missouri, she said that her pastor quoted from the shack not too long ago, apparently a week ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever. He quoted from the shack as if the shack is an authority over anything. Now, what you need to understand tonight is that the church is quickly going down. And I've got a lot to cover, so I won't spend a lot of time on any of this, but it is going down, folks. And even the churches just a few months back or years back were orthodox, stood for the truth, are now quickly going under. Here's a letter from a lady that lives in San Francisco, California. Just got this. Occasionally, I'll get one that is an absolute jewel. And this is something. "Dear Pastor Lawson, 2 weeks ago, you mentioned her church in one of your sermons." You remember that? How many remember me talking about her church? "That church is a few blocks from my home. I believe that it used to be a regular Lutheran church, but some years ago it was painted purple and became her church. On the outside of the church is a large banner that promotes a goddess rosary on Wednesdays. It has an art gallery, which I've never checked out. This month, the church is hosting an art class in which participants can paint their own goddess icons." Listen carefully. "Graven images, the divine feminine, the womb of wisdom, a portable labyrinth, kundalini yoga classes, and a drumming circle. Her church has it all." Now that's a lot to digest. But this church has all of this in it. And it's not alone in this, but this stuff that I've been giving out to you tonight, now just read. I want you to take it into your mind and heart and just think about it for a moment. The female pastor of the church is referred to as a priestess. Her church has a daycare center on the premises as well. Just from what I've seen on the outside of the church, I figured it was a lesbian hub of worship. I looked up the church's website. It is clear that it is pretty much a pagan Sophia community and place of worship, which incorporates select aspects of Christianity. Now, those of you that are in my Sunday school class, when we mention Sophia, it's immediately, you should know what I'm talking about. When I mention Sophia, we're going back to an emanation from the monad. Sophia is a goddess, an emanation, a powerful being, and from her comes forth other beings. So Sophia is considered to be a goddess. Have you noticed how that this generation, 2017, is marked unequivocally by feminine spirit? There is a feminine spirit. Revelation chapter number 17 says that this woman rides the beast. There is a feminine aspect to what's going on. It has to do with the transgender issue when men don't know if they're men or women. And the bathroom issue in the States, North Carolina went through all of that. You know, don't have a lot of time to spend on that, but I've talked at length about it. It is because that the gender identity is being messed up with people. And the reason it is because the gender identity is messed up in their gods. Baphomet is both male and female. Androgynous. And you get a lot of that, and that's happening. Watch it as it develops before your very eyes. It is in the process of evolving right now. But in any event, we get this letter from this dear sister, and she says something that's very intriguing here at the end. And I'll read this for you. I thought I hadn't planned to, but I want to jump ahead. And when somebody does something like this, it flat fires up my soul. Listen to what she says. She says, I'm 57 years old and grew up in San Francisco. During my childhood, I lived three blocks from Anton LaVey's Church of Satan. It was an old Victorian-style house that was painted black. The church was situated in a middle-class neighborhood located close to the Presidio military base. On weekday afternoons, my brother and I walked by that place on our way from our Catholic elementary school to our babysitter's flat. We called it the Devil's House. The media plays up Anton LaVey as an atheistic showman. But he believed in the power of what he was doing and was quite evil. If you are interested, I would like to share with you some of my experiences and observations from having grown up in San Francisco. What do you think? Do you think I'm interested? You better believe I am. And I will write back to this dear lady. And God raised her up. He plants people like that along the way. I mean, here's a woman with, this is primary source. This is a primary source. First-hand information coming directly from someone who has lived in San Francisco. And you know it's called by some Sodomisco by the Bay. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for all of that. But the problem with the church today is that the church is beginning to embrace the culture, the occult culture of the spirits that are being manifested in this world and around them. The church now is like cafeteria religion. They go out and pull anything in. They want to enhance their worship service. They're out with the Bible, out with the scripture, and now we have a new God and a new concept of God. There has been a paradigm shift from the old orthodoxy and the old faith into this new way of thinking. This is why churches today can embrace the shack. Anybody that embraces the shack has got a problem theologically. No question about that. One of the things that's hot in the church today is contemplative prayer. This is part of what's called the spiritual formation movement. The idea is that you must clear your mind so that God's voice may more easily be heard and one may be united with a divine spark within. The divine spark within is an occult definition. The occult world teaches that every creature has the light in them of this one universal spirit. Everybody's got that. So what they're doing is plugging in, whether they know it or not, they're plugging in to the spirit of the occult spirit of a universal religion in this age. And this, my dear friend, is going to be their death knell. They're going down with it. The divine spark. Practitioners and teachers of contemplative prayer often maintain that inside all human beings there is a spark of the divine. This is pure Gnosticism. I've taught this in Sunday school time and time and time again. But they are connecting with the Eastern religions. Mahesh Yogi came to this country in 1959, and with it he brought transcendental meditation. Transcendental meditation then is what's called now contemplative prayer and other forms of it. It has morphed into what people are doing now. It was rejected by the church then, but the church is no longer the church today. Anything and everything goes. The mind is opened up to receive the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, regardless of what spirit it is. The Roman Catholic Church has a couple of monks. One of them is Thomas Keating, the other Basil Pennington. They write, quote, "We should not hesitate to take the fruit of the age-old wisdom of the East and capture it for Christ." We don't need the wisdom of the East, folks. We don't need their gods. We don't need Shiva inside a circle dancing the Maharaj. We don't need that. We don't need what CERN had. We don't need that. We've got the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You don't need anything from Buddha or Hindu or Brahma or any of it. We don't need it. They need what we have. If you're preaching the truth of the Word of God, folks. Amen. But anyway, here they are telling people that we need what they have. Transcendental meditation invariably will lead to universalism. What is universalism, preacher? Universalism is the doctrine that everybody, regardless of what they believe, where they're from, what they do, doesn't make any difference what they do in this life, will be saved. That's including the devil, by the way. That's universalism. I don't believe that. Wide is the road, many there be shall they enter therein thereat. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. The Lord Jesus Christ said, oh, no, not everybody that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. Not everybody that professes to know God. He'll say to this group that says, Lord, did we not preach in thy name? Did we not prophesy? He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's not my call, that's his. You know what a labyrinth is? A labyrinth is something that has to do with a walk, a journey that brings you into a closer relationship with a spirit being. There is a labyrinth in the cathedral at Chartres, France, the Chartres Labyrinth. Underneath the floor where that labyrinth is located is the Black Madonna in the same church house. In Chartres, France. This is the goddess worship. The Black Madonna is at the womb of the earth. This is where it comes up out of the earth. The life comes forth from this virgin. It's not like the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin. This is a woman who needs nothing else. And it's the goddess. And she brings forth life. That's the point. When I say virgin and an occultist says virgin, we're not talking about the same thing. It's a matter of semantics. When I say virgin, I'm talking about the virgin-born Son of God, born of Mary the Virgin, the only one that ever lived like her, never be another one like her. She was impregnated by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. God the Father was the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ by that. And the virgin birth brought forth Christ our Lord into this world. When they say virgin, they're not talking about that. They're talking about a goddess that has life within herself. And she gives it out into this world. That's the virgin they're talking about. And that's what the labyrinth is all about. The church has embraced the labyrinth. The church has embraced shamanic drumming. What is this? Drumming has to do when they sit around in a circle and they beat on drums. They have different rhythms and different purposes and what have you. But the whole thing is designed to touch the spirit world and to reach an ecstatic state where you're in communion with spirits. Now, what's wrong with the Holy Ghost? They don't want the Holy Spirit. They want some kind of an experience that gives them an ecstatic feeling. Here's the problem with an ecstatic feeling. You have to have more and more and more and more. And He will suck you in deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So this is what's happening. They're sitting around in circles and they're drumming. And this is going on inside what's called the Church of God. Now hold on to this. How many of you know what a portal is? A portal. A portal. A portal is a way to reach a dimension. A portal is a way to move from one dimension to another dimension. One location to another location. You have portals that go into the earth. You have portals that go into your body. You have stargates that go into the heavens. These things are very real. Don't forget, my dear friend. The Bible says in the book of Revelation 9, an angel came down from heaven with a key to the bottomless pit. Could you find that pit for me right now? Could you locate that bottomless pit? No, you can't. But when that angel comes down, that pit will open. And when that pit opens, from the bottomless pit will rise beings, creatures upon the face of the earth. Why? They're coming through a portal. A portal. CERN is built on the ancient ruins of a temple of Apollo. CERN was chosen for that place because it is a portal. It is a place for the earth
From under the earth rises the Spirit, but it also has a connection with the stars. It's not only a portal of the earth, it is a stargate. This is why you have Shiva. Shiva dancing the Nataraj? I think it's the Nataraj. He destroys, but he also rebuilds and creates. So what they're doing is opening a portal to another dimension. Here's what one of them says. General Rolf Heuer, general director of CERN. Listen carefully. Says CERN will open the door from our physical universe to non-physical universes, which will allow human scientists to interact face-to-face with non-physical beings. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Sergio Bertolucci, the director of research and scientific computing at CERN, said there are parallel universes and parallel dimensions of non-physical intelligent beings located everywhere around us, and CERN will allow these non-Earth entities to come into our physical world and be with us. Digest that. Think about what this man said. These are scientists talking about something that's going on, and they're going to be at the forefront, the cutting edge of it. Now, I said not too long ago that many scientists are abandoning Darwin. They're done with him. I never said all scientists are abandoning Darwin. I never said that. But I did say many are, and many are. And probably many more, but for the fact that it may cost them their job, they're not saying it, but they have abandoned Darwin and the theory of evolution, which is nothing but a fairy tale joke from the beginning.
Amen.
In the beginning, God created man in his own image. Amen. He created a monkey and man from the monkey. He made the man in his own image. And the image of God in man is a message in itself. It's a separate thing altogether when you think about what's going on with a human being, a man. So CERN was built on this spot because it is a door, and the scientists are talking about contact with other dimensions. Why would they say that? They're saying that because they believe there's something up there. They have abandoned the idea that from a sludge, a mud, or something like that, we came crawling out of nothing. They've abandoned the idea. They're saying now there's an intelligence up here that put us down here. Now, they may differ on their definition of it, or explanation of it, but that's what they believe. In one point, it's called transpermia. In other words, it is the moving of one of a seed from one place to the other. However you want to, whatever position that they may take is irrelevant. The idea is that something up there put us down here.
Amen.
I heard Richard Dawkins the other day. I was watching a documentary, the one that you pointed out on YouTube. I watched that, 2 hours long. I watched the documentary, and Richard Dawkins... How many of you know who Richard Dawkins is? Richard Dawkins is he's an atheist. He was being interviewed by Ben Stein. How many know who Ben Stein is? Ben Stein's a Jew. And Ben Stein was interviewing Richard Dawkins. Here's what Dawkins said. He said, "It is possible that we were planted here by a highly advanced, evolved species of something." Now, when it comes to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that holy Lord God Almighty, he can't accept that. But he can take a little green man with a yellow tail, or he can take whatever in the world.
Amen.
He'll believe anything but the Bible. That's what he said, folks. I'm not putting words in his mouth. He said that. You saw that, brother. Before you sent it to me, I'm sure you watched it. Pardon? He hates God. That's the whole idea. And the reason they hate God is because God is a holy God.
Amen.
And he deals with your sin. And they don't like that. Now listen to what Carl Sagan said. Carl Sagan's gone now, but here's what Carl Sagan, his book, Intelligent Life in the Universe. What might an advanced extraterrestrial civilization want from us? One of the primary motivations for the exploration of the new world was to convert the inhabitants to Christianity. Peacefully, if possible, forcefully, if necessary, can we exclude the possibility of an extraterrestrial evangelism? See what he's saying? He's saying there's no question in his mind there's something up there. When a man starts talking like that, what's he saying to you? He's saying to you that whatever is going on this earth came from above. One of the strongest occult statements, the occult world, is this: as above, so below. As above, so below. Have you ever seen the snake? What's that called? The Ouroboros. That's biting its tail. It's a circle. That circle, a circular snake, the serpent, the Ophis, is used as a symbol of as above, so below. Well, as what was above, according to these people, whatever came from above, has us here below. You see what I mean? We are a product of what came above. Now, the truth of the matter is, one came from above, and he did breathe into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. If you believe the word of God, you know that God came down. You were not spontaneously generated from the earth. How many's ever heard of spontaneous combustion of a human body? Most of you have. It's a remarkable thing for a human body just to burst into flames, burn up, and yet maybe a part of the leg will be there, or the arms, or part of the body, and the room won't be burned up. It'll just be it'll be isolated to one small section, and they can't explain it. What caused this to happen? Spontaneous combustion of a human body. Now, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but I'm going to put something in your mind tonight. I want you to think about this before I get to it because it's important. Did you know that America, according to what Fox News has reported, and I'll find the report right here. Fox News has reported February the 28th, 2017. That's pretty current. Fox News has reported that UFO sightings hit an all-time high. And the sightings are most common, guess where? Here, in America. One of the least common places on the face of the earth for UFO sightings, you know where that is? Where? Exactly, Israel. Is there a difference, preacher, between Israel and America? Big difference. America, dear friend, and I love America. It's my country. I love my country. Salute my flag. I'm patriotic. But America is one of the most vile, ungodly places on the face of the earth. It is wicked. Which brings me to this point since I'm on it. Did you know that sightings of UFOs and Bigfoot and black-eyed children and all kinds of supernatural phenomena seem to be associated with the moral climate of a country? In other words, the more wicked your country, the more UFOs they see. Now, what's that tell you tonight? That tells you, first of all, that a UFO is a spiritual thing. It is a reality. Listen to this. These are the testimonies of people, and I always like to get the testimony of people, just a common man like the rest of us. When we have an article here, this article is February the 28th, 2017. UFO sightings hit all-time high, report says, FoxNews.com. All right, now here is a personal testimony on the comments section at the bottom, and this is what this person said, May the 18th, 2017. I'm going to leave the identity off, but the person has a right for that. Now listen to this. Yep, it's all a load of so forth. UFOs are for the kooks on the margins of society. It's all painfully obvious until one day when it happens to you. I had something so bizarre happen to me back in 91 that I was never the same. Life goes on, of course, but something is happening. Now here's, right below that, this is a personal testimony 4 days ago. That's how old this is, 4 days ago. Back around that time in Missouri, along a gravel road, we saw a large glowing red sphere. It looked like a glowing sun. It was near the ground and very close. The person I was with tried to get me to look at a small, two-legged creature, but I wouldn't. I had my head in my lap and thought that I was getting ready to die. He tried to get me to look at it for several minutes, but I threatened him to just get me out of there. I wish I would have looked now years later, but what I saw was beyond this world and like nothing you could imagine. By the way, I don't do drugs or alcohol, not now, not then. Now, you're going to tell this person they're a liar? You're going to tell them it didn't happen? It happened, just like they said. It happened, and it's continuing to happen. And I believe that some of the people that I've preached to in the church houses has had it happen to them. And I believe they've had it happen to them, and for fear of being ridiculed and talked about like a dog, they won't say anything. And I understand the fear. I understand, because a lot of people look at you like you're some kind of a kook, like you're a nutcase. This is what happens. Here's the point in all this. This country and this world is being prepared for a deception that is absolutely beyond human imagination. If you can't see that tonight, you must have your head buried in the sand. This is happening, folks. This is real. And this is what I have to do to minister to my generation. Remember I told you that the other day? God confirmed that to me and said, "Son, you preach to the people that are alive in 2017. Now I can go back and I can get a hold of some wonderful sermons preached by wonderful men. And I've used a lot of the thoughts that they've had and things of that nature. Wonderful things. But those men did not minister to 2017. This is where we live. This is 2017. And folks, I'm not talking about something that's going to happen. I'm talking about what's happening right this very moment. Stonehenge is called one of the wombs of the earth, the doorway to Orion, the major portals such as Uluru in Australia, Mount Kailash in Tibet, Machu Picchu in Peru, the Giza pyramids in Egypt, Sedona in Arizona, and Stonehenge in England, as well as many other major as well as minor portals. Many of these are classed as chakra points for the earth. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. I'm telling you that if you're living the kind of life that God wants you to live, and you're walking in communion with the Lord, you really don't have a whole lot to worry about when it comes to demons and about a lot of that stuff. It's not that you're totally exempt from it. You may still see it. But it's not going to drive the terror and the fear into your heart like it does the unsaved, or those people that are not living for God. I believe that your spiritual condition determines greatly what you are going to see and what you're going to experience. Because this is spiritual stuff I'm talking about tonight. It's spiritual. For a long time, I was baffled with Bigfoot. I never doubted that Bigfoot existed, but he just didn't fit the way people tried to explain him. There's never been a dead Bigfoot body. Never one time in all of the thousands of sightings of Bigfoot has one single body ever been produced. And the scientists say, "You show me a body, give me a physical body, and I'll believe that Bigfoot is real." Yet there are people out there who's absolutely, their life is completely changed, and they spend the rest of their life obsessed with finding Bigfoot when they see one, or they have an experience. Am I to doubt their experience? No. But the thing is, what kind of experience did they have? They may have had a spiritual experience, and they certainly saw something. But what they saw was not what you'll see in this zoo over here. Amen. What they saw was real, but it's not to be put under a microscope. Amen. It's real, no doubt. Real for sure. This is part of the deception. I want you to think about that tonight. Think about UFOs coming down from above, and the occupants of those UFOs coming down with a message for mankind. Do they have a message, preacher? Oh yeah, they've got a message. You better believe they do. Dr. Leo Sprinkle, PhD Professor Emeritus, counseling at Wyoming University, summarizes the experiences by saying, UFO contactees have been chosen. No UFO contact is accidental. And that the manifestations are designed to influence the world view of contactees. What follows is a summary of these claims about UFO experiences and related conditions. Number one, UFO contactees have been chosen. No UFO contact is accidental. Number two, Contactees are ordinary people who exhibit a caring or loving concern for all humankind. Number three, UFO experiences include paraphysical, parapsychological, and spiritual manifestations which are designed to influence the world view of contactees. Contactees are programmed for a variety of future activities, including awareness of their own contacts, desire to share their messages and knowledge with other contactees. The lives of contactees move in the direction of greater self-awareness, greater concern for the welfare of planet Earth, and a greater sense of cosmic citizenship with other beings in the universe. How many of you saw the thousands that were marching yesterday or the day before? Scientists, so forth, they're marching against President Trump and against the money that he's cut from an Environmental Protection Agency. He's not part of the Green Movement. He's not part of Mother Earth Movement. He's not part of Gaia. And so, you know, global warming and all of this agenda of these globalists, Trump has backed off from that, on the surface anyway. And here they come out of the woodwork, and they're demonstrating. They're marching through the streets. Why? Because they are connected to this earth. Their spirit is connected to this earth. The Lord that we worship is the Lord which is from heaven, not of the earth. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. He came from the earth. The name Adam is from the Hebrew word Adam, which means of the red clay. That's where he came from. The last man, the second man, the last Adam, is the Lord from heaven. If you have been renewed in the image of Christ, and your image has been renewed, the image of God, then, dear friend, what's in you came from up there, not down here. Your connection is more with up there than it is down here. When a saint dies, they go home. Well, I thought this was home. That's your home if you're unsaved. We sing that old song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." We go home to be with the Lord. And that's what happens when a saint leaves this world. They go home because they are not of this world. Now listen to this. Leo Sprinkle, quoted in the Encyclopedia of Extraterrestrial Encounters, page so forth and so on. That's not all. Brad Steiger, in a book he titled, in part, Channeling, reports the entity identified himself as Ox Ho and declared that he had come from a galaxy very near our own to help the people on Earth. "People on Earth, open your doors to our help," he said, "for you need it desperately. Remember that we are always on the alert, and we are now holding off and fighting any enemies from lesser evolved planets. Join our confederation and be one with the Creator." This is one of the messages coming down from above. Another contactee reports that an alien told her that Adam and Eve were created here as an experiment, and that aliens genetically changed the DNA of a distant cousin to the ape on this planet and sped up our evolution. Well, that's a good one. The question was asked of Mon, if there were more than one Adam and Eve. Yes, you could say so, because there was more than one experiment on the earth done by aliens visiting the planet. They were created here. Aliens genetically changed the DNA of a distant cousin to the ape on this planet. The aliens took the natural evolution and speeded it up. These are the messages that were brought from aliens. It's one example, but they're confirming the theory of evolution. Notice carefully, evolution is important. Here's an alien message, including warnings against the use of nuclear energy in any form and exhortations to put the world in order. Here's the exhortation: returning to the cosmic laws as taught by great masters such as Jesus, Buddha, and Krishna, all of whom are said to have come from other planets. Another quote: the millions that come from other worlds, from far-off galaxies, to assist in bringing peace upon Earth, have my staunch support and backing for all of their endeavors. I am Sananda, known to you as Jesus the Christ. I am Sananda, and this is my message to the world. Project World Evangelism. And it goes on and on and on and on. If you want to get on a website and do some of this research for yourself, it's called alienresistance.org. It's one of the best on the internet because it not only gives you case histories of what these are saying, it gives you testimony after testimony after testimony of people who were abductees. They saw things and they were delivered from the power of the UFO and the terror that came at night and the horror that came into their lives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were delivered. They were delivered. Now tell me something. If you believe in little green men that are up here, put us down here, why do they have to answer to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you why they have to answer to that name. Because he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he has at the cross at Calvary defeated and made a show of them openly. And they must answer to his authority over them. The Lord Jesus, they know who he is. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? They know exactly who he is. It is the unsaved, arrogant, pagan world out there that think we're a bunch of kooks and nuts here in the church house. They look at on us like we're a bunch of buffoons, and they're so smart. They are going to be the ones who swallow hook, line, and sinker this deception that's coming down upon this earth. And folks, the foundation's already been laid. The foundation's here. It's here. And the church, while the church is playing with the occult and beating their drums and going through their labyrinths and having their contemplative prayer and reading the shack and all the other garbage that's coming its way, the church, for the most part, is completely oblivious to what's coming. But they're being prepared to receive it because they've received the spirit of it.
Amen.
And that's the key. Once you receive the spirit, then you'll receive the message and everything else that goes with it.
Amen.
The apostle warned the church. He said, if another spirit and another Jesus, you might well bear with him. I beg you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus to wake up.
Yes.
I beg you to wake up. I really do. When I was a kid, I lived in the projects. We lived over on Jerolman. How many of you know where Jerolman is? You know how I grew up. We didn't have anything. I showed up one day at my grandfather's house with my little brother. He was less than two, just barely walking. I showed up at my grandfather's house. I was almost five. We had walked away from my mother. She was drunk, lying on the bed, lying on a sofa drunk. My little brother was crying. He was hungry. I got him, and it was pouring the rain down, so we threw a blanket over our head. And I took that little boy by the hand, and we took off. And I guess we covered, it must have been, I'm guessing, at least 3 or 4 miles. 5 miles, and we walked through the rain, and we got to my grandfather's house. I remember when my grandfather came to the door, he hollered back at my grandmother, and he said, Callie, he called her Callie. He said, look who's at our door. And she came in, and there we stood. They brought us in. They gave us something to eat. And when my mother woke up from her drunk, she was mad because her children weren't in the room. You know, she came, first place I guess she checked was with her dad, my grandfather, and of course we were there. We stayed there. We stayed there until I graduated from high school and went in the military. But I remember going to bed one night in those projects on Jerolman. Everything in the world has lived in those projects. They come through, they stay a while, they go on, they come, they stay, they leave. One night I went to bed. I went upstairs, I laid down the bed and was by myself. I was probably 5, maybe 6 years old. I will never forget what happened to me that night. It was the most horrid thing that I had ever experienced in my life. To this very day, I can't explain it, but I know what happened. I laid in that bed and I looked up toward the ceiling. And I could see things darting back and forth. Like phantoms, just darting all over the ceiling. I never saw it after that. I had never seen it before that. But that night, laying in that bed, I looked up and saw that over the top of my head. And I pulled the covers over my head. It scared me to death. Just a little boy, 5 years old. Didn't know what to do. You know, didn't have any idea what was going on. But it scared the daylights out of me. Darting. I'll never forget that. To this day, God's my witness. He knows what I'm saying to you tonight. He knows I'm telling you the truth. Inside that room, who knows what went on before we moved into that house? Who knows what? They might have been worshiping Satan. It could have been witchcraft going. They could have had seances in there. Everything in the world has lived in the projects. And we moved in there, and it was on Jerolman. And I'll never forget that, just a little boy. Now, I'm going to tell you, I told you that tonight to tell you that things can happen to you that you can't put down in a book and you can't explain. But I would not get up here behind this pulpit and lie to you, would I? Because God's my witness. God's my witness. He knows I'm telling you the truth. He knows I'm telling you the truth. Maybe something like that's happened to you. Now, here's what happens. Now, if something strange happens in my house, and it does on occasion, I don't get upset over it. I say in the name of Jesus Christ, you unclean spirit, you leave out of here right now. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm covered by the blood. You've got no authority over me. You have no claim on me. Leave my house. And they go. Hallelujah to God. They go. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to confront them. If you're living for the Lord, don't be afraid to confront them. Because it's not you really that's confronting them. You're covered by the blood and you belong to the Lord. You've got the power of Christ on you and in your soul. And I've confronted them more than once. 2 weeks ago, I got up here to preach. I think it's 2 weeks ago. I got up here to preach. And it was almost like somebody took hold of my throat. Like they took hold of me to strangle me to death. You know, and I've been up pulpit a lot, folks. And I know what's going on. I thought, uh-oh. Boy, he's waiting on me today. He was waiting for me. When I got up here and opened the Bible, that evil spirit was right here waiting for me. Did y'all witness what I did? I stopped reading the Bible, and I started praying, and I confronted that thing.
Amen.
And it left.
Amen.
It left his house. Amen. Now, they just kicked me out of the Baptist Association. They won't have anything to do with me. I'm Mark Mann, but that's okay. Mean squat.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
First thing I want to say is, I submit to you as a pastor. When you tell me to sit down, I sit down. Born again when I was 6 years old, I had the opportunity, I've been honored to sit under the preaching of some of the greatest men that you mentioned earlier, preached during the prior generations. The Tennessee Temple, all the way to a close friend of mine who walks daily with senators, Republicans, and even the president now. I want to say one key thing. Number one, very few of the pastors that I know are preaching what the pastor is preaching. I want to tell you, God's hand is on this man.
Amen.
And I can tell you that experientially from the men that I've sat under. This brother, I have come here because he's preaching something that I never heard in my days at seminary in New Orleans, where I graduated from, all the way throughout my whole life. This brother is alerting us, the church, to what is coming.
Yes.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
I saw you on the internet. My family have been for 6 months, brother, on a learning curve of which I never learned in all my years of teaching and school and everything. You've opened my eyes to realms of reality that I've never known. Thank you. Thank you. That's first. And second of all, this is not light ground on which he treads.
Oh, no. Absolutely, brother. Yes, sir.
Satan despises this man.
You better believe it.
And will end his life in a moment if we do not and you do not cover him in prayer.
Amen. Thank you, brother. That's the most important thing he said right there. It's not a game. This is no joke. I can tell at times when I can feel that hatred from Satan. I can feel it. I know that. He despises me. He'll despise anybody that'll preach the gospel. And you stand for the truth. He will. He hates like you. You wouldn't believe the hatred. And I have to fall on my knees and cry out to God. But I've got to do what I'm doing because that's why I'm alive and that's why I'm here. I've lived long enough. Folks, I'm 70 years old. I'm not building a ministry. I'm not looking 30, 40 years down the road what I'm going to be doing. I'm here and this is it. And this is what God's called me to do. And I'm going to do it till I'm gone.
Amen.
Amen. And if the Lord hears my prayer, and if he doesn't come back soon, decides, okay, son, if that's what you want, I'm taking you when you're standing behind the pulpit. Amen. That would be the best thing that could happen for me. I'd say, bye, folks. Look where I'm going. See you later, alligator. I'll meet you by the river. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. How was it Brother Ed Ballou sings? I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul.
Amen. That's right.
Folks, please take to heart what I said and what this brother said. Please take it to heart. We're close. We are close. We are very, very close. Wouldn't surprise me tomorrow morning. Fox, CNN, breaking news. And then something appears out of nowhere. And the whole world just goes crazy and mad and begins to follow him. Breaking news. It can happen. Amen. And I'm ready to go. Are you? Hallelujah. Look at that blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior. Let's stand up tonight. I'm done. The timing was perfect because I was finished when he stood up. These young men here in the middle, right there, they took in every word I said, and that's good. That's good. They listened. They listened. I'm glad. Amen. Because a lot of times when you're up here preaching, but they took in everything I said tonight. Yes, sir. Got any girls in front of them? You know, with this deal. How many of you boys ever pulled a girl's hair with a new kid? Everybody raise your hand. Flip paper wads? That was the meanness we got into back then. Now they kill each other. Yeah. Flipping paper wads and pulling the girl's hair and stuff like that. That's the meanness that we got into 50 years ago. What do we got, brother?
All-American Church Hymnal 376.